And we're into week two of this series that we're working on called Footsteps of the Spirit. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're examining and exploring the person and the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last week, we kind of kicked that off, and we saw that I think plenty of us are familiar with God the Father, and we're comfortable with Jesus, the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, the person and the function of the Holy Spirit, is something we're heaps less familiar with. There's a quote by a guy called John Lloyd Ogilvie, a minister and author, and he wrote these words: "Sadly, many Christians settle for two-thirds of God. God the Father is way up there somewhere, aloof and apart from their daily lives. Christ is out there somewhere between them and the Father. The Holy Spirit is some kind of vague force or impersonal power that they hear about, but they do not know intimately." And so last week we did this kind of Holy Spirit 101. We examined the work and the foundational concepts of the Holy Spirit, and I had an 8-point sermon. I think that's kind of like a personal record. Before you check your watches, today is not an 8-point sermon. We went through them pretty quickly, but I have far fewer points for you today. But I'd encourage you, if you missed it, to go back and you can listen to it, you can watch it, you can listen to it on podcast, because it is a really important message that kind of captured the big ideas, the main points about the Holy Spirit. And so over the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the different functions of the Holy Spirit. And if you read the description of our sermon series on the other side of that board, you might have had a bit of a head start in knowing what we're going to talk about. But this morning, we're going to be exploring the role of the Holy Spirit as the comforter. This idea that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And I think that's a topic that, even if it's not relevant, feeling relevant to you today, is at some point in your life going to be relevant. There is some point in your life, and probably for many of us, many points across the course of your life, where that reality of the Holy Spirit as the comforter is really significant. And so we're going to open in our Bibles to John chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 15 this morning. And as we do, let's pray. God, reveal yourself to us today through your Holy Spirit, that you would bring these truths from your word and plant them in our spirits, that they would transform us. Amen. And so John 14 and verse 15 says this: "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He shall give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." And the next screen has that verse 16 in the King James Version. So if you've been hanging out for some King James at Horizon Church, this is your moment. So King James Version says this: "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, we looked at that verse last week, just in passing, but that's kind of our key text for this series. And you might recall from last week that that section of John's gospel is kind of what they call the upper room discourse. It's these chapters where Jesus is meeting with the disciples in the upper room before he goes to the cross, away from the hustle and bustle and the chaos of the crowd. Jesus gathers together with the disciples and he shares some really important things with them. And there's a huge focus in what he shares, unsurprisingly, on the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to share with you a couple of reflections about that passage this morning that we didn't get time to look at last week. The first one of those is there's something really interesting to note about the Greek language. Now, I am not going to do a Chris and read it to you in Greek. Chris is far more talented at that than I am. But I do want to point out something to do with the Greek language here. So when we read Jesus saying to them in verse 16, "I'm going to give you another comforter," or another advocate, it's important that we understand this word "another." So Jesus says, "I'm going to give you another advocate," or another comforter. So in the English language, we really only have one word for another. We say "another." I'll give you an illustration of that in a moment. But the Greek, they had two words for another. So the first of those words that they had was heteros. And heteros means another, but of a different kind. So they had heteros, another of a different kind, and they also had the word allos. And allos means another of exactly the same kind. Now let me give you an illustration. Let's say this morning you stick around after church and you think you'll have a coffee. And let's say Lisa, for some reason, isn't making them. She's gone on strike. She's not getting paid enough to make your coffees. And so she decides to go on strike and I'm making them. And let's say I make you a coffee, but that coffee is bitter and it is hot and it burns your tongue and it's really unpleasant. Now, you might come back to me after you kind of tip it out in the bush and you might say, Simon, I'll have another coffee. Now, what you're saying is not, I'll have another coffee that's exactly the same. Make me another bitter, burnt, too hot coffee. You're saying, I want another one that's the right temperature and that tastes good. I want another coffee. And that would be, the Greek would say, hetero for that. I want another coffee that is different. I want another one that is different. But let's say Lisa is making the coffees, and praise God, this morning she is making the coffees. And let's say you have been hanging out for a coffee all morning. You're waiting for that guy to finish his sermon so you can get up the back there with Lisa and you can have a coffee. And let's say Lisa makes you a coffee which is delicious and just hits the spot. And you're thinking, I wish they had a large size because I need more than that. And so you go back to Lisa and you say, I want another. I want another. That would be in the Greek, allos. I want another just like the first one. I want another that is the same. So remember, heteros, I want another but different. Allos, I want another the same. And so when Jesus says to them, I will ask the Father and he will give you another, he's saying allos, comforter, another that is the same. I will ask the Father, he will give you another of the exact same kind. So while I am going and I have been a comforter to you, the Father is going to send allos, another that is of the exact same kind. Now that's an important thing, and I want you to remember that as we work our way through it. The second thing that stood out to me actually comes from the end of the passage that we looked at this morning. It stood out to me as I was reading through it, that right at the end of the section, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. And what an incredible thing is that it shows us the heart of Jesus. It's like a father speaking to them, the depth of his love for them and their love for him, that he uses this image. And he says, you aren't going to be left as orphans. I'm not leaving you to your own devices by yourselves. And he's not even just saying, I'm returning, although he has told them, I'll be coming back. He's saying that in the meantime, you won't be left waiting because the Holy Spirit will come and will dwell within you. I want to kind of you catch this morning, that by using the word allos and by speaking to them about not being left as orphans and using that phrase, Jesus is making the point really clear to the disciples. He's saying to them that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is not a downgrade. It's not a downgrade. It's not like the second best that you can get while I'm gone. So I'm going and you've had the best and now I'm kind of going to give you the second best. He doesn't say that. You know, many of us have got family members who live far away. Some of us are interstate, some of us overseas. And modern technology is wonderful. I mean, we all discovered that during COVID, didn't we? That it was awesome to be able to jump on, to be able to FaceTime with people. Like, that's really special. But I think we would all say, all of us who have done that with family would say, it's not the same as the real thing. It's not the same as having them in the room with you, as sharing meals with them, as kind of getting together and spending time face to face. And I think a lot of us view the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as kind of like the video calling equivalent of God. So it's like it's not the same. It's okay and it's better than nothing, but it's not the same as if Jesus was here with us. It's not the same. And Jesus isn't saying this to the disciples to make them just feel better. He's not kind of sensing they feel a bit sensitive. It's okay, you'll still be able to video call me, like it'll be all right. He's not saying that to them. He's saying, just as I have comforted you, the Holy Spirit will be your comfort. Not another but different, not another comforter but different. In fact, you will be comforted exactly as I have comforted you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you in the same way. And this would have stood out to them because they knew really clearly the comfort that Jesus provided. They knew this. They'd been in ministry with him for these last few years. They had listened to his words. They had watched him as he loved people. And they had seen in him the promises of the Old Testament fulfilled. And the Old Testament is very, very clear. And there are some really key promises that speak to this idea that God was coming to comfort his people. He was coming to comfort his people. If we go to the words of Isaiah, in Isaiah 9, it says this. You probably recognize this. It gets read at Christmas often. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What an incredible list of names for the comforter that was going to come. What an incredible list of names for Jesus that would be born. We did a Christmas series on each of these names a few years ago, and you can find that on our website. But they are names of comfort. If you look at them, they're names of comfort. The Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. And so later on in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, from chapter 40 for the next little bit of Isaiah, it's kind of like its own section of Isaiah. Sometimes it gets called the Book of Comfort. And the reason for that is that the verses and the chapters before had been a lot about God's judgment for the people's sinfulness. It was about the consequences of their sinful living and God's righteousness and his holiness. But here things shift. And the chapters that follow speak of God's rescue and of his deliverance and of the hope that people can have in him, but also the comfort that God brings them. And so we read this in Isaiah 40 verse 1. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned." And then down in verse 9, "O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him when he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young." God's promise here is intentional. He's sending Jesus to rescue his people, but you see, he reminds them over and over again that they will find comfort for their distress in him. They will find comfort for their distress in him. And I love that picture that God speaks forward of his heart towards his people, like that of a shepherd that picks up the little lambs, that carries them in his arms, that holds them close to his heart so they can hear his heartbeat, that they find safety in his arms. And then Jesus fulfills these prophecies as he comes. And the disciples had seen this. And as he encounters with people, what does Jesus consistently do? He consistently brings comfort. And so over in Mark 5, we're not going to read from there this morning. We're just going to race through some. But over in Mark 5, a woman with the issue of blood reaches out and touches Jesus. It's a woman who'd been cut off from the people because of her uncleanliness. She had been cut off from God, told she wasn't allowed to worship in the temple. The people called her names. They wanted nothing to do with her. And in a moment of desperation, she reaches out and touches Jesus. And what does Jesus say? "Someone's touched me." And the disciples go, "But it's crazy. Everyone's touching you. There's literally a crowd around you." But Jesus wants to bring comfort. See, the woman had already received healing when she touched Jesus. But he calls her out, and you might notice this. It's only one of only two times that Jesus uses this word, daughter. And he calls the most isolated, the most cut off person, daughter. He brings comfort and healing. And then over in John 11, Jesus comes and Lazarus has died. And Mary and Martha are there and they are so upset. And Jesus comes knowing that he has the power to heal. And he comes knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But before he does that, what does he do? He meets with Mary and Martha and he weeps with them. He consoles them. He reminds them of the hope that they can find in him and he brings comfort. We see over in Luke 7, this woman comes and Jesus is eating with religious leaders and this woman comes and she starts weeping at his feet. And she, in effect, is washing, it tells us, washing his feet with her tears. And the religious leaders say, how could you let that woman touch you? How could you let her be anywhere near you? But Jesus turns to the woman and he speaks with her and he acknowledges her and he tells her about the power of her faith and he restores her, he forgives her and he brings her comfort. We could go on this morning. We could look at thing after thing after thing of where Jesus meets with people throughout the scriptures and he doesn't just heal them, he doesn't just forgive them, he brings them comfort. And now here, as Jesus meets with the disciples in John 14, as he's going to the cross, he says that the one that is coming, the Holy Spirit, is of the exact same kind. He will bring comfort and healing and restoration. He will welcome in those that are despised and outcast. He will lift up the brokenhearted. He will welcome in the orphan and the lonely. And even when I am gone, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will be here with you and he will dwell in each one of you. He will dwell in each one of you and he will be the very presence of God in your life, bringing comfort. And so as we look at this idea of the Holy Spirit as the comforter, I've only got 2 points this week. Not eight, just two. The first one is that you can find comfort in the Holy Spirit. You might hear all this and say, well, in theory, it sounds good. You know, in theory, I agree. The Bible says that God has a heart of comfort for his people and that he sends the Holy Spirit to do that. But you might be saying, well, how can I experience that in my life? How can I actually receive the comfort of God in my own life? And perhaps there were times in the past where you felt particularly close to God, where you felt led by God, where you were going through a tough time and you felt the comforting of the Holy Spirit. But perhaps now that feels like a distant memory. It feels like God is far, far away. And you feel like the Holy Spirit as a comforter is second best. You feel like I'd just rather Jesus in the room rather than the Holy Spirit dwelling in my life. But I'd encourage you this morning with a couple of really simple things. And they are going to be simple. And you're going to think, gee, he really skimped us on the sermon this week because those points are too simple. But I'd say that when we feel disconnected from God is often when we feel the greatest need for him. It's often when we've kind of stopped cultivating the depth of our relationship with him. It's where we haven't been intentional about cultivating time, spending time with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I'd encourage you with a couple of simple things this morning. One of them is to get into God's Word. To get into God's Word. You know, coming along to church and hearing Scripture preached, that's important. But that's kind of like thinking that if I just eat one meal a week, it will sustain me all week. If I just have a big lunch on a Sunday, I won't have to bother grocery shopping because that'll get me through. We all know that it doesn't work like that. And what we actually need is some of God's Word in our life every single day. Not to become legalistic about it, but to find life in it. To actually spend time listening to the Holy Spirit as he brings comfort to us through God's Word. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will plant something in our hearts out of the blue. And I think sometimes, some of us Pentecostals, we just want the Holy Spirit to do that all the time. But more often than not, the Holy Spirit is at work revealing the truth of God's Word to us, speaking to us through God's Word. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Bible is living and active. It's living and active. These words have power in our lives. Romans 15:4 goes on to say, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, And get this, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So as we immerse ourselves in God's word, as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to life in our hearts, to reveal to us the truth of scripture, it reminds us, what is the outworking of that? We read it here. The outworking is that it reminds us of the hope that we can have. Particularly in tough times of distress, it reminds us of the things that God has declared over our lives and of the promises that we have in Christ. Another step that I would take you, I told you it was going to be really simple. First one, get into God's word. Second one, pray more. Now, those could be the points of application for every sermon ever written. But get into God's word and pray more, because the Holy Spirit works in and through us as we pray. Philippians 4:6-7 says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So the passage tells us that as we invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and minister to us as we pray, that we receive this supernatural peace. It's a peace that Scripture tells us surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that doesn't make sense. It's a peace that doesn't rely on our external circumstances or the things that are happening in our world, but relies on the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, it's very easy to think, well, of course, He's telling me to pray and to read more, the Bible more. But I want to encourage you, church, commit to doing it. If you are seeking the comfort of the Holy Spirit right now with what you're going through, even if you're feeling great, commit to doing it. Spend the next month spending time praying and reading God's word and see what God does. See how more aware you are of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And secondly, so the first point is you can find the comfort in the Holy Spirit. But the second point this morning, as we finish, is that we should be active in introducing people to the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Now, this will come as no shock to you, but we live in a world that is desperate for hope and it's desperate for comforting. The statistics are really, really troubling. They say, tell us that 43% of Australians aged 16 to 85 have experienced emotional or psychological challenges at some point in their lives. It says that 22% of Australians have experienced emotional or psychological difficulties in the last 12 months. It tells us that nearly 39% of young Australians aged between 16 to 24 report emotional distress within a 12-month period. 50% of Australians report financial stress having a significant impact on their emotional well-being. 4 in 10 Australians feel lonely 1 or 2 days a week. And this is for us here in Canberra. Canberra is the loneliest city in Australia. Now, those are confronting, aren't they? Those are hard to hear. But we know that reality. I don't think anything there will shock you. But what does it give us? It gives us an opportunity. It gives us an opportunity to speak in to these parts of our family and our workplaces and our community where people are desperate for comforting. It gives us an opportunity to speak hope and life. It gives us an opportunity to welcome people into Christian community where they can find a place to belong, where they can find a family, where they can find people who love them and care for them. And so, church, I would encourage you, we have a mandate. I mean, Scripture's really clear that we are expected, we are called to share the hope that we have found in Jesus. And we have the opportunity to declare that He is the God of comfort. And through the Holy Spirit, we can have the presence of God, the Comforter, dwelling in our lives. And what an incredible opportunity, what an incredible invitation it is to invite people in to share that. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it talks of this one who you promised would come. Jesus, as you met with the disciples and you told them not to despair because you would ask the Father and he would send another comforter of the exact same kind, not one that was a second grade, not one that was kind of the same but also not as good, but that you declared that you would bring another who would bring the same comfort that the disciples had seen you bringing. And God, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us as the Holy Spirit who brings comfort, that we would know that in our lives, that it wouldn't just be a concept, wouldn't be a theory, but it would be a reality in our everyday. We pray that you would draw us to you, that we would spend time in your word, that we would spend time in prayer, receiving this ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives that brings peace and it brings hope and it reminds us of the promises of your word, and he brings comfort to each and every day. And Lord, that you would stir in our hearts a passion, that through the power of the Holy Spirit who equips us for service, that we would be bold and courageous in a lonely, desperate world, that we would speak hope and life because, Holy Spirit, you speak through us, and that we would invite people in to share the hope and the joy and the comfort that we're found in you. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us again, that you would minister to us, that you would give us boldness and courage, that you would give us hope and comfort. And this morning we pray particularly for those who are really struggling today, for those who might have come this morning hurting, that might have seen in those statistics their name, that they've been struggling with whatever it is at the moment. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in us, that as we come to you and as we seek you, that you promise us, it's not a maybe, it's a promise of a supernatural peace. And so we just pray, Holy Spirit, you minister to each one this morning, that those who have come hurting and broken, feeling isolated, feeling as orphans, that they would find in your word this reminder and hope that we have, that you declared, God, that you wouldn't leave us as orphans, but that you would send your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for that. We pray that we would see the reality of this in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.